Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship, Lord God, giving glory unto your name, Lord God, reaching for you with everything we got. Father, in the name of Jesus, your will needs to be our desire. And Father, we ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word. Father, we give glory and honor unto your name. We worship you, Lord God. We all ask forgiveness for our sins and to be cleared from all unrighteousness, especially me. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
We're in Psalms chapter 6. I do believe there's so much meat in this one that we might stick around in it for a while. But hopefully we'll complete it by today. Psalms chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. 2 says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. And then 3 says, my soul is also vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? In Psalms 32, King David speaks about how his soul was vexed and how his moisture was turned into a drought, you know, like summer. In other words, he felt real dry because he had sinned against the Lord. He had did something that made him feel really bad. And this is more along those lines. 6:1 is saying, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. So evidently, something was done by the writer here. This is a Psalm of David, but something was done in the place where God's anger was able to become kindled against an individual. Now, you shouldn't mind the anger of the Lord, but you don't want God's anger to be kindled, because that means there's a continual thing going on and you're not getting it taken care of by grace. You got to remember that if you make a mistake, if you do wrong, all you got to do is ask him and tell him, Lord, straighten my life out again. And you come to him, and that way you are covered from that sin. And I think Psalm 32 would be a good place to go to really just show you more of what I'm talking about. So let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 32 so that you can see King David as he is struggling. And you listen to this as he is really getting caught up. So 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You never want to be in a place where your sin is not covered. Okay, we're human, we sin, but you don't want to live life where your sin is not covered. Don't sit back and allow the devil and give place to the devil where you're not, I don't care how many times you sin in a day, you ask the Lord to forgive you. Remember, Jesus said, how many times do you forgive your brother? 70 times 70. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't allow the enemy to get you caught up making you think you can, oh, I done came to him 3 times this morning. That's 3 times, because that is 70 times 70 a day. In a 24-hour period, if you look in that, he's talking about 70 times 70 a day. If your brother comes to you and asks forgiveness 70 times 70 within that day, you forgive him all 70 times 70 times. You forgive him. And so that is the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't get caught up in letting the devil fool us and make us think, or letting your flesh fool you and make you think that you cannot go to God. In 1 John chapter 9, the scripture says that he is faithful. God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say you're faithful. He said he's faithful. And when we look at God, there's nobody more faithful than God. So I don't care what's wrong. I don't care what's happened. We don't want to take it lightly, but we want to get We want to be blessed. So the first thing it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You're blessed if the breaking of the law, which is the transgression, is forgiven. And then it goes on to say, whose sin is covered. Then he goes on to explain in 32:2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. So the Lord has not imputed in you the root of sin, the iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, sin. See, it is a blessing to have your sin taken care of so that sin don't just lay in your spirit. See? And so he's giving us example in 3. David is saying, when I kept silent, when I didn't speak to the Lord about it and didn't get it taken care of, he said, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, which means pause and think about it. So David is saying, I didn't take my transgression to the Lord. I didn't take my sin to the Lord. And day and night thy hand was just heavy upon me. The moisture that was in my bones that makes my joints work. I was all stiffed and boarded up because I was turned into the drought of summer. It was like summer had dried me out. I was dry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't get caught up into the enemy's lies when he says you cannot be forgiven. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. We are not in the Old Testament time. We are under grace. Amen. Grace is not something that you have earned. It is not something you can be endowed with. It's not a special blessing upon one individual, but God give it grace to those that hear him. See, sin separates you that you cannot hear God. See, are you seeing what I'm saying? So this is why we cannot let sin abide. We cannot let sin live. See, we have to operate no matter how many times. Sin doesn't live here anymore. We're all there. But there should not be. We got to get to the place where we don't even let 2 seconds go by when we know we're wrong. And we, as soon as we feel it, we need to jump right on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the goal is to overcome. See, now I don't know why the church doesn't teach this anymore, but they need to teach it. Going back to Psalm 6, I just want you to see it from another place where it's being explained. See, so we don't want the moisture to turn into drought. So he goes on to say, so Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me. Don't chastise me in thy hot displeasure, because if you're displeased, that's a butt weapon that my butt can't cash. So please, discipline me and get me through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the blood that was shed for you on Calvary's cross. It is that blood, because all of us, by rights, there's not a man alive who should not have been thrown into the fiery furnace.
Amen.
We all, by rights, should be there. You hear what I'm saying? But God, because of his great mercy towards us, created a way that we could get back to him. You see what I'm saying? That's the confession of sin by pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, and that's all. And so, but I hope I'm not making this point where it's irritating somebody or is getting them to start thinking like they cannot be where they need to be. That is not the goal of this. And if you're thinking like that, that is the enemy in your mind. You need to shake his butt off and tell the Lord to rebuke him so that you can get free from this. This is simply telling you that no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, you have a way out. And if God sees the way out starts to become regular, where you keep asking, he's going to create a way where you ain't got to visit it no more. See, which one of us conquered sin? I didn't. Yeah. I didn't die on Calvary's cross for nobody. There's only one that conquered sin. So he is the only one that can cleanse you in righteousness. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You cannot, it is not about your own righteousness. We have got to go to God and put on his righteousness. It's all about him. See? So I don't want anybody to feel guilty. This is not a message of guilt. This is a message of hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Look at what is available to me, the no good sinner.
Amen.
See? So that's where we're at. So he says in 2, have mercy upon me. See, now he's talking to the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, for I am weak. Lord, have mercy on me. I done fell again.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy on me. I didn't mean to say that, but before my mind was going, and next thing you know, my mouth started going way before my thoughts, and I had said some things that I didn't mean to say.
Yes.
And Lord, just forgive me. Forgive me, because I'm weak.
Yes.
He said, oh Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. That's what vexed bones means. When you start to feel dry, when you feel like there's no moisture, when you feel like you don't feel God. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't feel God?
Ain't going back.
Where you try to pray and you can't get out of it. You just don't feel him no more. It seems like he done left you.
Mm-hmm.
He has not left you. And that's why Ezekiel speaks about going through the valley of the dry bones.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
See? Mm-hmm. That's why Ezekiel speaks about that. Because when you're feeling dry, that's when God is with you most. Yes. It's like the footsteps in the sand. Lord, at this part of my life, I see there was only one pair of footsteps walking through the sand. He said, yeah, that's when I carried you.
Bam.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? So you have to change your mind from the world's understanding to a spiritual understanding. If you do not switch the paradigm and cut on spiritual understanding, then you'll see things just like the world. And that'll lead you to suicide.
No.
That'll lead you into all places. Because once a man feels like there's no help for him, it's over. Now, as long as everybody else is saying there's no help for you, then you can ignore that because they're not God.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start telling yourself there's no help for you, oh, you done lost it.
Yeah, it's devastation.
Because now you have opened up the door for everything. And don't you know that is the trick of the enemy? Don't you know that's his plan? To make you look at you and get disgusted with what you have done or what you're doing, mm-hmm. so that you can say, there's no help for me. God can't help me. And once he got you there,
mm-hmm.
then he could use you to do everything. Because now there's nothing off the table for you. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why I love the Psalms, because it brings things to a place where you can make it down to the lowest common denominator simple. Because, you know, when our fractions are real high, our numbers are real high, we start thinking we all such a much. But after he get through working us down to a workable size, then we get down to the lowest common denominator and he deals with us. And you can see him from that place.
Mm-hmm.
See? So then he says in 3, my soul is also sore vexed. So it was not just my flesh. I'm not just worried about you dealing with me in a hot, displeasured way. I am not just telling you that I'm weak. I'm not just asking you to heal me, that my bones are vexed, Lord. My very soul is hurt. Have you ever been hurt so much? Has somebody ever said something to you that it hurt you down to the core? It hurt you to your soul? The beauty about this is that God can even redeem the soul, which is the goal in everything. God ain't trying to save your flesh. He's trying to get you to learn how to flush your flesh. He's not trying to save your flesh. He's trying to save your soul. And so when you get hurt to the very place of your soul where you start to feel, that is the enemy trying to vex you and your soul. That's not a place you need to stay. When you feel it where it hurts you to the place where you want to shed tears, then it's time for you to jump up and start praising God. It's time for you to get up amongst the brethren, get around the church, get around people who are going to lift you up, get around encouragement. You know, sometimes the church has that. You know, They just have people that just encourage you. Just as soon as you see them, it brings you joy. You know what I mean? If I could just get around Sister Sally today. That's right. Sister Sally always brings me joy. She's always got an encouragement. If I could just get around her today, then I'll be able to survive this. And they put you in a place where you can hear from God and move on in life. See? That God has them people. This is why we need the fellowship of the church. You never know when you're going to have to call on somebody to be there for you. That's pastors included. So 4 says, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake. Don't save me for my sake. I'm a wretched man. Don't save me because I'm good. I ain't no good. Don't say, but for your mercy, just for the sake of you being called a merciful God, save me for your mercy's sake. If you can't find nothing good in me, there's good in your mercy. If you can't find no reason, there's good in your mercy. Just save me for your mercy's sake. Your name is attached to this. I proclaim you. Save me just for mercy's sake. You see what I'm saying? Because what people don't seem to understand, and this is why they get it twisted, that's all they had in the Old Testament was mercy. They didn't have grace. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Once Jesus Christ came, then there was mercy and grace. See, you had the forgiveness of your past to go into something that is more beautiful than you ever known. Grace, unmerited favor. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And I know that this is speaking to the hearts of everybody in here and everybody up under the sound of my voice. I know it's speaking to your heart. But like I said, this is in no ways any type of condemnation. This is an uplift. But sometimes you got to get down to the lowest condemnation. You got to get down to the root of the issue. If you do not believe that the mercy of God alone can deliver you, then you cannot be saved. Because it has nothing to do with what you do. We done already messed up.
That's right.
What can you do to redeem what you've already done?
Profound.
The only reason we have this is because God is good. Because his mercy endures for what? Forever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And he said, I am God, I change it not. I am the same God today, yesterday and forever. So that means he is eternally good. All you got to do is believe it. No matter what condition, all you got to do is believe it. See? Don't you know that's what the enemy is after? Your belief system? He wants you to believe the world. He don't want you to believe God. He wants you to believe the lie. He don't want you to believe God. God said he's going to turn people over to a strong delusion because they didn't love the truth. The truth is, God is good. The truth is, God is merciful. The truth is, Christ came as your kinsman redeemer. Now, I know I just said something that may make other people say, kinsman redeemer? What is that? He is the scapegoat for you. He took on you and bore your sins, past, sins, present, sins, future, stuff you ain't even did yet, so that he could be your kinsman redeemer. Why kinsman? Kinsman is a family member that puts his life on the line for you. He's already did it on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
It's already been done.
Amen.
So if you could get out of where you are, and get into, because people are too busy looking at their condition. You got to get up out of your condition and start looking at your position. Start seeing how God sees you. God says that you are the head, not the tail. He said you are above and not beneath. He said you are the lender and not the borrower. He has proclaimed who you are already. The problem is we just don't believe it. What is it going to take for us to believe God? Everybody say, I believe God.
I believe God.
Say it again. I believe God. You got to believe God.
That's right.
Even when you don't see it in yourself, you got to believe God.
That's right.
He's above everything. And he is the final of everything.
That's it.
Amen. Let's move on. It says in 5, "For in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" So he's hitting God right where it is. If I die, Lord, because of the sin, there's going to be no remembrance of you. I'm dead. Where's that remembrance in death? See?
Yes, sir.
How can I serve you from the grave? You know, what king was that? Was it Hezekiah? I think it was Hezekiah. He said to God, God said, "This is your last day upon earth. You've done good. I need to take you home." And he said, "Lord, how am I going to serve you?" He turned his head to the wall and started to pray and said, "Lord," and it was Hezekiah, "how can I serve you from the grave?" And God gave that man 15 more years.
Beautiful. Amen. Beautiful.
Because he made an excellent point. See, he made an excellent point. What can the dead do to make anything happen that yields on the life? It's dead.
That's right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so he came straight out and said, "For in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Who shall thank you when I'm dead? How would I, your creation, thank you when I'm dead? Lord, I know I messed up. I know I sinned. I know I messed up. But I'm trying to get to the place where I can freely flow in praising you, freely flow in thanking you. How can I thank you dead?
Amen.
See, this is spiritual thinking. This ain't that worldly stuff. This is thinking on a whole different level. And this is the grassroots of life. So he says in 6, "I am weary with my groaning." He says, I'm worn out with all this groaning. I'm worn out. I keep doing this. I'm worn out. It says, "All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears." In other words, I'm so caught up in my mess. I'm so tired of my mess. I'm so weary with this. I cry. He said, "I make my bed. When I'm on my way to bed, I'm crying already. I make my bed to go swim in my tears. The couch is wet." Look at what he's saying. So he says in 7, "Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies." So he's bringing the crux here. I am not just falling into sin because I want to disrespect you. I'm falling into sin because of my enemies. So what enemy is leading you to mess up? What enemy is creating your grief? What enemy keeps your couch wet? Because you know to do good. But how to accomplish that, we often don't find when we're giving the enemy more power than God. It's a paradigm shift. What is paradigm? The thought pattern by which we think. If you think according to the world's paradigm, then you're going to get a worldly understanding. But if you shift that and think according to God's word and according to a spiritual paradigm, you will see exactly what God is saying. It's a paradigm shift, and we need that. We need a paradigm shift. He says in 8, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." So now he's going to war against his enemy. "For the Lord hath heard my voice, the voice of my weeping." So he said, so now, this is what I should have did before I sinned. But now that I done got back with you, God, let me start proclaiming it. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Not Joe, you guys who just sin, but you people who are steeped in the root of sin. Back up. Get away from me. Mm-hmm. See, what is he doing? He is verbally and spiritually shutting down his enemy. He's taking the power from the enemy. He's shutting it down. In other words, get it away from me. Keep it away from me. He said, why am I doing this now? Because the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. He said, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer.
Amen.
Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. So let them be vexed. Let them be sore vexed. But let it come up on them like an armed man. Suddenly, all of a sudden, they're coming against me. Next thing you know, let their fear come. Let that trap come. Let it come. Don't give them a chance because they're the enemy. Don't give them a chance. Get them suddenly so I ain't got to deal with this. Come against them, Lord God. See, because he has heard the weeping that came from my voice. So now I stand in him. So, if you denote through all this, this is not something that just happened in a flash pan. This is a couple of days of struggle. Now, am I saying he stayed in sin for a couple of days? No, I'm not. I'm just talking about the coming out of sin. It takes a few days to get back in the position where you start to fight the enemy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You got to separate yourself from the mess so that you can be able to attack the mess verbally. And God's word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It changes not. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut even to the piercing of soul and spirit. It's the only thing that can divide your soul from your spirit. There is nothing else that can divide it. That's how sharp the knife of the word is. So, when coming out, what does that tell you? When I am caught up, I need to get into God's word. And I need to find myself. After all my crying and all my complaining, all my moaning, all my groaning, all my grief, then the Lord will deliver me and I will feel him deliver me. I will feel it. And for however long this is going to stay with me, I've got to ride the bicycle of Jesus Christ. And if I happen to fall, guess what? I got to get back up on the bike of Jesus Christ and ride him again. And if I go around the corner and I find a steep hill that makes me fall, I got to get back up on the bike and ride Jesus again. I got to pick up where I fell and keep on riding. Ride, Jesus, ride. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship, Lord God. Thank you for the love that you have shown. Father, thank you for a renewed sense of purpose, Lord God, for those that are up under the sounding of my voice, Lord God. Let us not concentrate so much on the condition. The condition has already been paid for on Calvary's cross. But let us concentrate on our position in you, our position in Christ. What we should be doing in Christ, that would overshadow the foolishness of this world and the things thereof. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. I pray that you bless everybody, Lord God, and that you touch them as special. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil. The downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination.
ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Right, don't delay. Stop playing with your worldly way. Cause what you said out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie. And ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tell you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
Cause he's coming.